home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
We are back. Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you, well, not to your weekend. Some of you were taking to the weekend. Some of you will hang around and listen to The Drive Guys with Whitey and Draper as we break down all things Kings. Got some NFL for you with the Niners, even though it's a bye week. And we got the text line going right now, the 916. Can I get a recap? Why is Fox mad? All we were saying was De'Aaron Fox didn't know where Shams got his information from in terms of Shams saying he thinks De'Aaron could be ready to go on Saturday. And De'Aaron said, I don't know where he got that info from. So that's what happened there. And 916 also said, Alan, I got your back 100%. Period. That is from Steven or Stefan. Thank you, Steven. I appreciate you as I move to Sacramento. Also from the 916. Can we please stop?
I was hoping you would read
stop
this.
In all caps referring to Sacramento as the toe. I know the new generation likes to abbreviate everything, but please don't disrespect our city. I'd rather you call it Sactown, and I don't even love that as much. LOL. That is from Nick. Well, Nick, the whole toe thing,
it's a joke.
We don't really know how it got started.
It's an inside joke.
It is an inside. You are now on the inside, Nick, because what happened was Chris, and for those listening, thank you for listening. If it's your first time, thank you for joining us. If you've been listening, thank you for holding it down. What happened was that
what had happened was,
and let me just break it down for you. Chris basically said, nobody says the toe in Sacramento, saying the T in Sacramento. But since I am not from here, I thought he was saying nobody calls it the toe. So that's what happened, and then it turned into an inside joke, and now we call it the toe.
And it spiraled.
And we are not disrespecting Sacramento.
No,
Chris,
never.
Chris is loyal to his soil.
I would never.
And I am now loyal to my new soil
exactly.
As I move to the NATO.
But I'm not going to go to the NATO. Yes.
I would not do that as we talk Kings, talk Sacramento, Beam Team, and thank you because, Nick, I feel like you are a part of the
sure.
Beam regime.
Okay.
Yes,
and
the Beam regime.
Thank you for putting your name on your text.
Yes.
We love Steven. We love Nick. Whenever you put your name on your text, that's what we love. And we also love Mitch from New Jersey. Let's go to him right now on the phone lines. What's up, Mitch? How you doing on this Friday?
I'm doing quite well. I'm about to see the big German show. It's so beautiful. But I want to say is give Keegan. I mean, the team is good. It's his second year. I mean, you don't expect him to be. He's old LeBron, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fine. Just keep playing. Can I give your dog food? Keep playing your bench and resting everybody. That's what I think.
There we go.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
Mitch
you,
and
Mitch.
Friends.
Mitch & Co.
Yeah, Mitch & Co.
That's also got
yeah,
you from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Exactly.
Mitch & Co. Thank you, Mitch, for the call. And here's the thing.
Get off my guy, Keegan.
It is Keegan's second year. It's only his second year.
Yeah.
But how important he is to this team, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's really important to this team.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with that.
I mean, it's more just like what do you want to see from him? I think the big thing is just again the percentages aren't there. I think the raw numbers are there. The increase in points per game is there, and even with the bad percentages, like if Keegan were hitting normal percentages right now, he'd probably be at 16 points per game, maybe even more because his 3-point percentage is for it to be 27% is ridiculous for a guy who takes as many threes as he does. So I just. You know, it's just also a really small sample size. We're at 4 games into this season.
Yeah.
Maybe after 10 or something would probably be a better place to reevaluate or if we need to reevaluate.
But that's why I said slow start.
Exactly.
I'm not calling it the yips or even a slump. I'm
or
not
a
calling,
sign of things to
I'm
come
not calling
or anything
that,
like that.
Any of those things. Yet.
Yeah, definitely not. And I think the important thing is, again, just looking at it eye test wise, he's clearly doing things this year that he did not do last year, and he's doing them really well. Mm-hmm. Whether it be guarding Steph Curry or whether it be putting the ball on the deck or, like you said, showing off that runner or just the ability to finish in the paint in general, I think eye test-wise, we have seen him grow. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's first and foremost most important to see early in this season. The comfort will come. The stability will come. But right now, he is definitely doing things differently than he did last year in an incredibly positive way. So
right.
Right now, I it might not look pretty, but he has made an improvement.
Yes, I would say that as well. And I do think that that guy who hit the walk-off runner against the Kings, Klay Thompson, I think that was a comp early. Mm. But I think that what I've seen from Keegan, even though the shot hasn't been falling, I think that what I've seen from Keegan these last couple games and just in only his second year, I think he's been above that. I think he's been beyond that. And we're talking about a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a Hall of Famer in Klay Thompson. And I even think that I've seen Keegan do some things that Klay didn't do. Now, defensively, will Keegan be what Klay was at his apex? We don't know.
Right.
But he did a darn good job against Steph Curry. Right. The difference is, are you able to do that and then be game six Keegan Murray, right?
Exactly.
And make those shots.
Yeah.
So that's all a part. That's all a part of his development.
Right.
You play less games in college. Like, all those things are still what we're working on in terms of watching Keegan and what he has going on. So we were very excited to see that. We were also very excited to see Davion Mitchell, who we did bold predictions before the game with the Warriors, and somebody on the YouTube chat said, Davion, 20 points. And we thought that was the boldest prediction that we saw. He didn't get to 20, but he did get to 13.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty 13.
It was.
And it was an impactful 13. And defensively, yes, Klay made the shot over him, but he did some good things. Is Davion Mitchell starting to turn the corner?
I think so, especially shooting the basketball. Like, it feels like his shot he's more confident in his jump shot than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that first quarter, the first two threes he hit, I think it was the first two threes of the game, just came off the screen, no hesitation. Like we're talking about with Kevin Huerter, you can't really see Davion thinking. It's all just, I'm going off the screen and I'm going up with the shot. And,
right.
And that's great. It doesn't seem like there's any hitch in his jumper either. And to me, the big thing is, again, just the confidence. I think when it comes to shooting, a lot of these guys are, they've put in the reps. They've put in the practice time, especially Davion Mitchell. Mitchell spends more time in the gym. I know it's a cliche to call these guys gym rats, and they, you got to pry them out of the gym. Davion Mitchell is truly somebody that you have to forcefully get out of the gym. Coaches in the past have taken keys away from him.
Yeah, you got to go.
Because he will outwork himself. It's incredible. So he's put in the necessary work, and I think it's paid off. I really do think it's paid off in terms of shooting the basketball, and that's a big step for him, is just getting to that 36, 37%. Where, yeah, he might not be the world's best facilitator, especially as a backup point guard, but if you can still use him as a player on the offense, if you can, even if it is just him as a shooter, what he brings defensively makes him indispensable. So, it's the next logical step in Davion's career was to knock down the three. It's great to see. You want to see him continue to do it. And if he can, he's going to play a lot of minutes for this team, because even though he is, we saw that Klay was able to shoot over him, Davion's still the best guy that they have to throw at people in those kind of situations.
There are not a lot of Klay Thompsons running around.
No.
That's why he was salty that he wasn't on the top 75 list.
Yes, exactly.
That's why
rightfully so.
That's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So there are not a lot of situations where you're going to find Davion in that specific situation, because in a normal situation, Davion is on Steph.
Yes.
But because Steph was being bothered by the length of Keegan Murray, that's why you move things around. And I still live with the decisions that the staff, the coaching staff, Mike Brown and the crew made. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But like we talk about, that game that the Kings played, how many teams do they beat with that game?
A lot.
It's a lot.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's about 70% of the league,
right?
So that is what we love to see. So very excited about Davion Mitchell and what he's bringing to the table. I mean, straight off top, when the game started, there was a shot, and it didn't rattle in, but it kind of rolled in, that first three-pointer that he made, and that was very early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that set the tone to say, you guys can't help off me.
Yep.
You can if you want, but I'm going to burn you.
Yep.
That's my mentality. And I'm going to make sure that there's nobody on this court for the Kings that you cannot guard.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and I think that's a message that's been sent to not just Davion, but everybody. Again, like, Coach Brown has been on Keegan even. If they go under on a screen, shoot the ball, now.
We're pulling.
Get the ball out of your hands as quick as possible. And I think, like you said, I think that that same rule applies to Davion. I think Mike Brown has now told Davion that if guys go under screens, make them pay. Make them go over the screen on you and try and work through it because you're a capable enough shooter. And I think he's also told De'Aaron Fox that with the amount of threes we've seen De'Aaron take early in this season, he kind of does have a tendency to take a lot of threes early in the year.
Yeah.
It feels like just it's been a big talking point in general for Mike Brown. He talked about it a lot last year, but it feels like he's really been harping on it this year with everybody. If you're open, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
We run this offense. We run people around screens. We, you know, run people all around the court to get an open shot.
Yeah.
Do not pass open the open shot. That's what we worked for.
Right. And if you don't shoot, we got a guy.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. When he pulls Sasha up over there to take Keegan out, it's like, Keegan, you're probably our best shooter, but even you can get replaced.
Yeah. Anybody can get swapped out if you are not ready to shoot the ball. If you are not ready to contribute to this team, you can't
offense
be scared.
Or defense.
And that is why going back to, and I know the Kings play tomorrow so we can move forward, but that is why I am really curious if Mike Brown had a conversation with Kevin Huerter, because passing up the rock in open shot situations for Davion. And Davion, I wouldn't say he ever had necessarily a hot hand. I think he made some open shots, but I wouldn't say, you know, when somebody gets hot and let's just feed it to him because
he's blazing.
On fire,
right?
Shout out NBA Jam. I don't think there was anything like that. So to me, Kevin Huerter, we got to have a conversation.
He should never pass open
that.
A shot. No, Kevin, especially, Kevin should. That, again, is another sign that he's clearly in his head, because every single time Kevin Huerter should feel like it doesn't matter if I'm passing to Malik, it doesn't matter if I'm passing to Keegan. If I have the open look, I have the green light.
Yes.
And Kevin's got to take those opportunities, much like we talk about Harrison Barnes a lot.
Right.
Like, it applies to everybody else as well. Like, you have to feel like you have to have some sort of ego. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason why Russell Westbrook is so great, and there's a reason why he's also in the situation he's in.
Right.
Because his ego is so massive that he just always feels like, I can make an impact on this game, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And I think every NBA player needs to channel some bit
Klay
of
Thompson.
That.
People get on Klay Thompson. Yeah. He says shoot or shoot.
Yep.
Klay will go 2 for 40, but if he gets that ball, it's going up.
It's going up.
And if it's up, it's up. You know, so that.
And you got to live with the results.
You got to live with
the
result.
Because he can do exactly what he did the other night, where
exactly.
He has 12 points in the game, but you need him to take the most important shot. No problem.
Right.
No problem.
And it's the most important one. Got to get to a break. When we get back, swapping over, switching over to a little bit of football talk, as everybody's favorite talking head, I won't say who that is because that's a tease right there, talks about benching Brock Purdy. That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m., 7th official show. And if you don't know, now you know. You know. On this Friday, fun day, a football Friday, as we get into some football. But first, we wanted to talk about something because I thought it was interesting when you discuss Davion Mitchell and where he was picked and what he will become. Mm-hmm. And I think you've been a little tough on him.
I agree.
In regards to, he was an eighth.
Ninth, yeah. He was a ninth pick.
He was a ninth pick in the draft, right? So a lottery guy. But as I go through this list, I got a name for you, and I don't want to trigger you on a Friday.
Oh,
we've been doing very well. We got through.
What are you gonna?
We got through yesterday, which I thought would be very contentious. After
we're talking about lottery picks, and you're talking about triggering me, I'm very afraid.
This is the 2021 draft.
No, no. We're going through them all.
Okay.
And the year is 2018.
Oh my gosh.
And the pick is number
two.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Why are we doing this?
Because we have to. If we're gonna talk about lottery picks, and if you're gonna hold Davion accountable, then you got to talk about Marvin Bagley III.
I don't see why.
No, you have to.
Tell me why.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's a lottery. How many people have hit in the lottery? I've played it before. If I hit, I probably would still be here because I love doing this, but I wouldn't have to be here,
right?
Because it's a lottery. And a lottery means that there's a chance there is a chance that this person will be good. And if you look at, this is from randomly, 2018, Marvin Bagley III, yeah, you are the second pick in the draft, and I don't even know where that man is.
He's in Detroit. We got him for Trey Lyles. That's where Marvin Bagley's at right now.
If I saw him walking down the street and I saw like Keke Palmer, I wouldn't know a thing.
You
want to
know what Marvin Bagley's doing right now?
What is he doing?
He's fighting for his life for minutes with James Wiseman.
Another
lottery
pick.
Another lottery pick.
So if we're talking about Davion, and you could even take this to the Trey Lances because it's a football Friday. How many guys do we see and we're thinking this could be the dude, this could be the situation? And honestly, man, it's just a gamble.
Sure.
I put 20 on 4 on roulette, and I hope it hits. You know how many times it hits?
Yeah.
Never.
Sure. And I mean, that's the part with Davion that I try to keep, like, focus on is, yeah, like, you took him 9th, which is a lottery pick, and he's a point guard. And I wouldn't say he's, at this moment in time, like, a starter quality guard. But at the same time, you could also take somebody who's just completely out of the league. Because like you're saying, it's a lottery in so many senses of, hey, this guy could be changing your franchise with like Giannis was like a 13th, 14th pick or whatever. It could be this guy's a starter for you. He's nothing special, but like he's good. Mm-hmm. He can be a role player or he can just be completely out of the league garbage. And the fact, I think with a lottery pick or with any pick really, you're just hoping for a playable player, and it realistically does fall at any pick. Like it's not just Marvin Bagley. You know, the NBA has a history of Anthony Bennett's and Hasheem Thabeet's.
Oh, we're gonna go through them.
Greg Oden's and you know, Killian Hayes's. And
we got all that.
Josh Jackson's and things like that. And Markel Fultz. Even there's tons of players who even at the top of the draft don't work out, and so I do feel like it is a little bit unfair sometimes for me to kind of criticize Davion the way I do for his draft pick, because at least he's playable.
That's a totally fair point. I mean, the teams who picked after Marvin Bagley probably didn't get anything out of it, right?
Oh, well, I'm looking here. And you know, right?
Well, because after Doncic, Marvin,
that's not fair.
Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young.
Those guys all suck.
Mo Bamba. But then you get down to the 9th pick. You got Kevin Knox, who's no longer in the league, right? Or he's hanging around. He just got released.
I don't think he is in the
league. Here's my question.
Damn, that's
crazy. If you talk about good jobs, or I don't want to say easy jobs, because everybody's job is tough. But it's got to be one of the easiest jobs in the world being an NBA scout, right? If you hit, you hit. If you miss, what would you rather be? What would you rather be? 916-339-1140. YouTube chat's going crazy right now. Call line, text line. What's an easier job? A scout or a weatherman?
Weatherman.
Just throwing strays out there.
No, I'm
definitely
just saying,
weatherman.
If you're right, you're
definitely
right.
Definitely weatherman.
If you're wrong,
I could be a weatherman right now. I can go on the Weather Channel right now, and if you give me 15, 20 minutes, I can put together a
nice
presentation.
It's going to be cold, then it's going to get hot.
It's going to be 67, then it's going to be 68. We got rain up here in Sacramento down
predicting here. Predicting weather is way more of an exact science than NBA
but
player
is it,
evaluation.
Though,
he also
wrong
said
all
weatherman,
the time.
Not meteorologist. So
weather person. But is it, though?
Yeah, but
they're wrong all the time.
But think about NBA, or like, let's take the NBA for example.
But you're close with weather. It's not like you're saying, oh my gosh, it's going to be 80 degrees today, and then it snows. Like, there's a chance with the NBA, you're like, this guy's going to be a star, and then he never is.
But it's a lottery. I'm sorry.
These teams are investing millions and millions of dollars of resources into a super inexact science. And I think you're right that the science is closer to being accurate than it's ever been before for evaluating players, but it's still a super inexact science.
Yeah.
You want to know who the 4th pick in the 2019 draft was? DeAndre Hunter.
Yes.
Is that scout still in the league? Is that scout still scouting?
What's wrong with that? Like, I mean, he's playing. You know, like, because, like, my thing is, every scout in the world is going to say, take Zion Williamson, number one, with a bullet.
Zion
absolutely.
Went 1, Ja went 2, RJ Barrett went 3, DeAndre Hunter went 4, Darius Garland went 5. Is the scout who drafted Jarrett Culver, number 6 from Texas Tech, is he still in the league? How about Coby White? Number 7 for the Bulls.
The Bulls fired everyone.
I mean, there's reasons behind all of these, though. Like, you know, it's not like that's why being a scout is so hard, though, is because sometimes
is it hard or is it really easy?
I think it's tough. I think especially with just the systems that we have in, like, all you have to go off of is college basketball performances, and college basketball is definitely not the NBA. It's sometimes it's really tough to see a guy do Jimmer Fredette. It's great to see him do so well in college, but you know, maybe Jimmer's not the right example, but like how can you say, okay, Jimmer's going to be bad, but Buddy Hield's going to be good and Trae Young's going to be good. And I don't know who's somebody else who put up ridiculous stats in college. You know, like all three of those guys right. all put up ridiculous numbers, but had very different levels of NBA career so far.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you're supposed to kind of siphon through that without, I mean, it's just like you have to have an eye.
Dougie
for
McBuckets.
Really
don't
tough.
Forget Dougie McBuckets.
Doug McDermott, somebody who, yeah, I for sure would have thought would have been in the
A
NBA.
Lot of it's development, too, because, like, Jokic totally. Only works because they make him the center of that offense, right? If he's in any other situation, right. it doesn't look like this.
But he is the system, a la James Harden. We're going to talk about James Harden.
No, thanks.
No, we have to. We have no choice. Okay, how about the scout that drafted Patrick Williams or James Wiseman? Why don't we get yeah. Kevin Dana back on the
oh
line?
My gosh.
Who drafted James Wiseman yeah. number two? Okay, and did not take LaMelo Ball, and I will always say
but
that was a mistake.
Those are also GMs as well. You know,
yeah.
scouts are one thing; it's the GMs who have to make the ultimate.
How about
mistake.
Isaac Okoro, number five in 2020? Where is he?
He's a role player.
Cleveland
role player
is a classic
Cleveland.
Case of like we hit some, we miss some, right? Like they got Okoro with the five pick and Darius Garland with the five pick.
Yep. Yeah, Patrick Williams, number four. As we go to 2021, this should be good. Cade Cunningham, I haven't heard his name since the draft.
He hurt his shin last year, but he's balling. I'm
a
big
guard.
K guy.
Go to Big Five and get
Where's
a shin guard.
He put up 30 points crazy. The other day.
Where's
oh,
shin
great.
Guard is
Outstanding.
Crazy.
So did Jordan Poole on Shaq and the Fool. Come on, what are we talking
That's
about?
That's not the same.
Jalen Green on the Rockets. Okay, shout out Jalen Green. He was in Napa, so we love
so
a NorCal guy.
Fine.
So he's fine.
No shame.
Evan Mobley, that's a hit. Scotty Barnes, that's a hit. Jalen Suggs. Can't really say on the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
I might rather have Davion Mitchell than Jalen Suggs.
Ooh. We're getting close, yeah. It's close. It's
and Jalen Suggs
close.
Was number five. Josh Giddey, that's a hit. Kuminga, pretty sure that's a hit. Franz Wagner, that's a hit. And this is the Davion draft.
Yep.
This is the Davion draft. And after Davion, Zaire Williams.
I mean, it's a very inexact science, but like, you know, again, it's pretty random. You never know. Like Kyle said, like it is a big part of development plays a big key in it as well. You can just all you can really do when you're drafting somebody is just look at their traits and try and figure out if it's, you know, if you're able to expand on it, like is it just that's the player you are and there's not another level to it. It's really almost impossible to try and figure out. But that's why.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, that's why
and that's why they eventually don't.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Now, that's why now, they have such
and
a
now
short
I'm in
shelf
a, now I'm in a black hole now because I just got to keep going. Like you said, Josh Jackson, Phoenix Suns,
yeah, that's a really
out of Kansas,
draft.
Number four, fourth pick in the draft.
Yep.
Where are you now,
in
Markel?
In front of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, Markel Fultz famously or infamously got picked to the 76ers. He was the first pick in that draft.
Remember when people said that was the deepest draft class of all time? With
I mean,
Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Tatum,
you got
Jackson
Jonathan
and Fox.
Isaac, who has had a bunch of injuries, De'Aaron Fox, Lauri
Markkanen. Took a couple places to eventually get
yeah.
to where he wanted to go.
Dennis Smith Jr. was supposed to be a guy.
Yep.
So I don't know. Malik Monk, actually. Okay, here's a good question. Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. Solid six man now,
yeah.
right? He went, he tried to ball out. Now he has been a really good spark off the bench. Malik Monk, 11th pick in the 2017
draft. Right.
Would you call that a hit or a miss?
It's an absolute hit. Well, the problem is it's a miss for the team that took him because
mm-hmm.
the Charlotte Hornets took him and it never worked out for him in Charlotte because – frankly, I mean, if you watch Malik in college, you would have thought Malik Monk was going to be
the guy,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
exactly. And
who you don't like either.
I do not. Not a Donovan Mitchell guy at all. And so, yeah, I mean, that's also to Kyle's point. Again, it's all about development sometimes as well, where you clearly guessed right on the talent. Michael mm-hmm. Jordan, good job. You took Malik Monk.
Yeah.
He ended up being a really good player if you fast forward 6 or 7 years, but you didn't have the infrastructure to make it work with you. And so
no.
I guess like it's a miss of a draft pick if you're a Hornets guy, but you know, Malik Monk, the prospect, if you look back at it now, yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah.
But that's also what makes it so tough is sometimes it is situational, and it's, you know, it really doesn't have much to do with, it has just as much to do with where the talent goes than the talent themselves.
Right.
Like Kyle said with Jokic, it's the same thing. Like
yeah.
If talent doesn't go to the right location to help it foster a nurturing environment, then it's going to die.
Just yeah. Like,
you know?
Good point. All right, got to get to a break. More of your calls, more of your texts, more of your chat when we get back. Switching over to football on this Football Friday, Nick Wright. Yeah, that's the guy. I know you got the nickname Nick wrong. A lot of you don't love him. He's got some words about benching Brock Purdy, that and much more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Good morning, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sactown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings play at the Houston Rockets tomorrow night, and De'Aaron Fox might have a chance to play Saturday or Monday after spraining his ankle last Sunday. You can hear from Fox in Brennan Nunez's latest story up right now at SactownSports.com. Our coverage of Kings versus Rockets tips off at 3:30 tomorrow. G-Man on call at 5 o'clock p.m. The NBA in-season tournament begins tonight with 7 games slated. Only one game in the Kings Group C, that is the Golden State Warriors playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. And in football, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Tennessee Titans 20-16 last night. The Steelers are 5-3 this year despite the fact they've been outgained in yards in all 8 games this year and have the 23rd ranked offense in the NFL. Mike Tomlin is a wizard. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return to more of Styles and Watkins.
Sacramento's official home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Sactown Sports.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports on a Friday, fun day, NFL Friday, Football Friday, whatever you want to call it, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by the Drive guys at 1:45, as always, for a little bit of crosstalk.
Only one Drive guy today.
Only one Drive guy.
Yeah. Right. Kyle Draper's on his way to Houston, so Jerry Reynolds will be here today.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In the building. And
you get
I'm
to
feeling like,
meet
yee.
Jerry. I have not been able to meet Jerry. You probably don't even know who Jerry Reynolds is, do you?
I do now.
Wow, this is a treat. See, this is a treat. So Jerry Reynolds is, I don't even know if there's like a comparison. Kyle, could you think of like a other team, like what? Like, do other teams have a guy like Jerry?
I don't think someone who's done as many versatile roles as Jerry. Like, there's people who, like, embody the organization, yeah. but not Jerry doing, like, four
Every
different
job.
Jobs.
Like, yeah. he's literally been the head coach in the 80s, I believe, late 80s, early 90s. He was the GM for a year or two. He was an assistant coach when Bill Russell was their coach. He was the Sacramento Monarchs GM. He's got his number up in the GM up in the rafters,
right?
For GMing that championship Monarchs team. He was a broadcaster. He did the broadcast for probably my entire childhood, so 15, 20 years. And now he's got the every time you walk through the Golden One Center media entrance, it's the Jerry Reynolds media entrance.
So that's right.
This is a true, true legend that
so
will be in our
presence. So it's
Whitey
and Jerry.
Yes.
Yes, it'll be Whitey and Jerry in studio today.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yes, this is so a very good day for you.
Yes, you want to look out for that. You also want to look out for Hunter Patterson, NBA writer for The Athletic. That is at 1:15 on the chat, on the actually the text line, 916. Talking about our conversation about drafting and is being a scout hard or is it actually easy? The 916, this is the most hindsight is 2020 convo ever. Being a scout is hard. But that's the argument. That is my whole argument. And the whole reason we had the conversation was because of Davion Mitchell being pick number 9 and whether we should hold him to that or not. And when you go through these names and some of these guys drafted earlier than Davion in other drafts and even in that draft, that aren't even in the league anymore. Nihao, you know, as Shaq says, you got to go over
go
the Shanghai
China.
Tigers, okay?
So Sharks. Shanghai
the
Sharks.
The Shanghai
Come
Sharks.
On.
No
Come
disrespect.
Guangdong Tigers, Shanghai yes. Sharks.
There
Come
you
on.
Go.
Come on.
So Davion Mitchell, I have to call it a hit. because he is a playable NBA player.
Yeah.
That's, you just have no clue. So you are right, 916. It is a hindsight conversation, but that is the question. Is it difficult to be a scout? I feel like you bounce around, but all you need is one hit.
Yeah.
You could be a one-hit wonder.
Oh, yeah.
You could be Fetty Wap in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
I like, you know, mannequin, baby. You know what I mean?
Wonder
you
can, what he's up to now.
Dude, I was just going to say, the last story I heard about Fetty Wap was...
It was a crazy story.
It was that he was riding a bike and he got hit by a car. And obviously, Fetty Wap like only has one eye.
Come
and
on.
So it was like...
It oh, you should probably Google like, him right now.
I don't think I should.
It
but
sounds
I'll do
like
it.
A Fournier Google. I'm good. I'm not.
It's not Fournier, but you should probably read into what he's been up to the last 3 years.
Wow.
I mean,
we will get into
it. Let's just say
that and more.
Let's just say
Watkins, yeah. Sacktown Sports. All right, let's switch over to football for a little bit on this Football Friday as we talk about everybody's favorite talking head, Nick Wright, as a lot of people like to call him Snape. I like to call him Snape from Harry Potter.
Where did
Potter.
Dude get his hair from?
Yeah, he just
I remember
had
like
him.
4 years ago, Nick Wright was like bald and like
better
like
hair comeback.
Not like choice
Nick
bald.
Nick Wright or LeBron.
Ooh, well, I feel like they're one and the same. I feel like, you know, Nick Wright is known as a big LeBron stan, so I feel like he probably found
he's
out
the same
where
guy.
Exactly.
He's the same guy.
I'd probably say Nick Wright because LeBron's never fully came back. Remember when he had, like, the Wu-Tang in his head?
No, he
like,
came back, though.
He tries to come back after every summer because he clearly gets something done during the summertime to kind of fill it,
revamp.
Fill his hair. And, like, you know, he's probably not sweating as much, so, like, maybe things are, I don't know. I just hypothesizing here. But, I would say Nick Wright because that dude does have the full Severus Snape haircut right
No,
now.
Yeah, he's been rocking the lock. So here is Nick Wright talking about Brock Purdy and what's going on with the Niners.
Is it on the board that at some point this year Brock Purdy gets benched? Of course. Just so we know that this is not me being unfair. Any quarterback across modern NFL history, if you were on a universally accepted as stacked team, that is an SBOB team, that is an unproven quarterback, whose backup, the head coach, to your guys' point, that you guys fell all over yourselves to make a big deal of, spoke glowingly about, calling him Steve Young, who, by the way, did once upon a time replace an actual legend. If you are in the midst of a 4-5-game losing streak, of course, your job is in jeopardy. Well, we're 3 games into it.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, they are a two-point favorite in Jacksonville. We can show you their schedule. If you don't think that if this thing tailspins for the night and 5-0 turns into 6-5, that there is not going to be real discussion about Sam Darnold.
Well, Grant Cohn asked Kyle Shanahan a couple days ago.
Yeah.
About whether he
boldly.
Would think about well, everything
bold
Grant Cohn does is boldly.
Bold. Capital B,
all caps, and in bold, in caps, bold text.
It might
even
be italicized.
Exactly,
as well.
We gotta have the italicization, right?
Yeah.
If that's even a word, right? We're gonna make it up now. Yeah, so he asked Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan said no.
He said
very plainly,
not even considering.
And everybody knows Grant Cohn there, and whether you like him or you love him or you hate him, the Niners, that Niners team, they know very well who he is. So Kyle Shanahan knew who the question was coming from, and he just told Grant no.
Yeah.
And it very plainly and very simply, he said no, we're not. There's no change coming. And, you know, man, as we sit here, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday about Daniel Jones and the bag he got, Marvin Bagley. I'm going to use that now.
Go ahead. In your Marvin Bagley.
I'm in my Marvin Bagley era.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not era, but
go.
I got
Please
the Marvin
not.
Bagley.
That era is so far gone.
That era is very far gone. But, you know, you talk about Daniel Jones.
Uh-huh.
You talk about what's going on with the Bears and how I thought I had something because I was a Justin Fields guy. I still believe maybe things would have worked out if the Niners took him, but it's not looking good now. The guy can't even stay on the field when you run around like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not very surprising. When you look at Zach Wilson, all from the same draft, Zach Wilson, complete mess. I mean, he is the equivalent of a batting practice all-star.
Terrible.
He was in shorts. The best quarterback we've ever seen, a la Jamarcus Russell, throwing 80 from his knees, all those good things. And now you look here and you go back to Brock Purdy and what he's been able to do And I know he's got all pros all around him. And I know he's got a pretty darn good defense all around him. But Brock Purdy, he I don't know if he's the guy, but he is the guy right now.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm talking with my buddy last night, and he said this is why they should have kept Trey Lance to keep him around. And we discussed that's why they got rid of Trey Lance.
Exactly.
To not have these conversations. And Sam Darnold, I know he's got arm talent.
No.
I know he does.
I mean,
he does.
No, I was going to say no. Like, I don't want to hear this. But I just don't want to hear Sam Darnold is more than qualified of being a starter.
Right. And you know what? A lot of different things happened throughout the preseason. Should we care about what we saw in the preseason or should we not? All I can say is when Sam Darnold came in the game in the preseason, he did look good, but it did look different.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely looked different.
It still did not look as calm, cool, collected.
Not as Brock, yeah. It looked better than, because at the time we were comparing to Trey.
It looked better than Trey.
Yeah.
Right, which it should because he's been in the league. So when I look at what I saw with Sam Darnold during the preseason, because that's all I have to go off of, and he's seeing ghosts, shout out Casper, Dia de los Muertos, I know we're moved on now, and Halloween, shout out to all that, but I don't want to see Sam Darnold right now, okay? I think Brock Purdy has played well. I know it's going to sound a bit weird saying up until the fourth quarter, because that's when it matters, and we showed the graphic. Kyle Shanahan won in about 36 when trailing by three or more entering the third quarter, which is a little misleading because that stat doesn't say if you lost a lead in the fourth and came back, right? So it's a little misleading, but people have questions about Brock and who he could be. I don't want to see Sam Darnold. Do you want to see Sam Darnold?
No, I don't want to see Sam Darnold. There's no reason because at Sam Darnold's best, I think he looks as good as Brock Purdy looked in the first couple weeks. Now, if the question is Brock is just terrible and not looking like he can ever return to that guy, then the conversation is okay to have. But I don't think that conversation is coming up in, what, Nick Wright said 6-5. So that's not coming up in the next 3 weeks. There's no way that I don't think it's fair to lose confidence that quickly in Brock Purdy just because he's had whatever, however many games, 4 or 5 bad games in a row. I think you got to let
bad quarters, bad really.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it hasn't even been a totality of bad games. Like that Vikings game, it was only bad in the fourth quarter. We've seen him put together good performances, move the ball. That Browns game, he moved the ball, put them in field goal range. They just, Jake Moody didn't make the kick. So it hasn't even been, like you said, it hasn't been a full game of a bad performance. And I don't think that a couple, much like what we talk about with Kevin Herter, I don't know if a couple bad games or a string of bad games should lead you to make this wholesale decision of pretty much giving up on this guy just because he's had a rough go of things. I think it's part of the game. It's part of playing. It's playing through it. And if it truly gets to the point where, maybe the Niners are 6-6, or if it gets to the point where they're under 500.
Right, and to be fair, that's what he was saying. If they're 6-5, maybe you revisit.
You revisit, but even then, it's like, it's got to look so bad, and it has to be so singularly Brock Purdy's fault. I just don't see it ever getting to that point. And, who knows, maybe in 3 weeks, I'll look back on this and be like, what an idiot I was, but I just don't think that Sam Darnold is, there's no high reward.
You don't see the Geno Smith.
Yeah, I don't see a
high
reward.
They run me off. I didn't write back, though.
With Sam Darnold, I just don't see it. I think we know what he is, and I think everyone's just kind of hoping for stability at this point and hoping that Sam can be the one to do it. But I don't see why he's any more qualified to bring stability than Brock. And I would much rather go with the evil I know than the evil I don't.
Yeah, the devil you know is better than the devil you
don't.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, talking James Harden, as we talked yesterday about the lack of self-awareness from Draymond Green, it's a battle of self-awareness. Or lack thereof when it comes to James Harden. I am the system. Dude, that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. as we talk all things Kings, talk all things Niners on this Football Friday. A text coming in from the 279. Where is that?
I was just about to ask you that. 279 area code is... Oh, it's apparently the new Sacramento area code.
So the 916 is no more?
I believe I remember hearing about this. The 916, yeah, it's been, I believe they've ran out of numbers, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. I probably am, but yeah, they're, Sacramento is now, you know, so many of you Bay Area folk have moved over here now, taking up all our
They're not
our
changing
good numbers,
phone numbers.
Okay?
They're not when is the last time someone changed their phone number?
That's a great question, because every time, especially nowadays, yeah, when you get the new phone, it's not, because back in the day, it's like when you had to get the new cell phone,
yeah,
a lot of the time that meant new number.
I've had
the
same number
for
years.
Yeah.
No, I mean, decades. Yeah. Right? And I had to, remember the slider, the phone that slid up?
The chocolate and stuff?
Yeah. I had all that same number, but this is from the 279.
Shout out New Sack.
Shout out New Sack. The new toe. The new toe. I'm in the new toe. Okay.
So does that mean if I do ever get my phone number changed, it's going to say 279 now?
Yes, sir.
That's what I think.
Interesting. Yeah. So I won't even get a 916.
No, you won't. No.
Pick up sticks. I was at opening night from the 279. I was at opening night. It really hit home since they are Warriors colors. Can you guys start a movement to change Golden One's colors? That is from Ann Fung.
No. Ann Fung is also another ad that uses Warrior colors as well.
Ah.
The Ann Fung. Yes. They have it at Warrior games as well. The something wrong, call Ann Fung.
Oh, yes.
They
yes.
have that at the Kings games as well.
Right.
And she uses, I think she just changed it this year, but she used
279 said she had Kings colors and it looked good.
Yes, she just changed it this year.
And just so everybody knows,
such a specific
color. Right. Give you a look behind the corner, behind the curtain, rather, when texts come in that are long or longer, they come in twos.
Yes.
So we have to read them and we have to try to decipher where everything is. It's not,
it's like
just so you know.
Almost,
we saw one yesterday. I felt like I was in National Treasure.
Yeah.
I felt like I was Nicolas Cage. I figured out how things
to
were supposed to fit.
Yeah.
Yes. I decoded the text. So yeah. And you know what? It's not a bad text, because I did think that rolling up to Golden One, being from the Bay Area, I thought, these kind of look like Warriors colors. Is that crazy?
No, well, okay. So can I just say this also? I don't know if you've realized this, but every University of California school has the same colors. They all incorporate blue and yellow think about University of Cal, UCLA.
You're talking about UCs.
UCs, I'm sorry, yes.
Cal State.
I'm sorry, yes, not the Cal States. I'm sorry. All of the UCs use blue and yellow. And so I believe it is a California, like, color scheme.
He is correct about this. You're giving him skeptical face. It is correct.
Well, because I'm trying to go through
Riverside.
Riverside,
Santa Cruz.
All the UCs are blue and gold.
UC San Diego, they're all blue and gold.
Yep.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, and so Golden One being like a, well, technically it's more of a Sacramento-based credit union, but if I had to guess, that's where they got their color scheme from, is being California forward.
Interesting.
But the point still stands that they definitely should switch it up a
little
bit.
Also, Twitter people complained right before the playoffs last year, and Ann changed the colors specifically in Golden One Center because Carmichael Dave and some Twitter people complained about it.
More specifically, Carmichael Dave.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've got some power here, but yeah. Shout out Ann Fong for being really quick about that.
Shout out.
Too.
I thought the text was from Ann Fong.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa. I know we're doing well so far early in the show, but I don't know if we're getting that big of a
It
listener
could be.
Already,
you never know. Wow, that is interesting. Now I'm going through, okay, other UCs. Well, they're not that many, right?
No, there's eight of them.
Yeah.
Okay. UC Davis.
Yep.
Which, by the way, Davis kind of does blue and white now. They're kind of like trendy and
they
moving
are,
away
yeah.
from the gold.
Okay, UC to. Davis, Cal, obviously.
Yep.
UCLA.
Wow, UCLA.
UC San Diego.
The Tritons.
Yeah.
They're
UC
blue.
UC Irvine.
Yeah. Irvine.
Are they blue?
They are.
Yep.
All of these are blue.
Santa Barbara, Gauchos are blue and yellow.
Merced.
Blue.
Yeah.
UCSF is the...
Do they have
UCSF
sports?
Is kind of like a half UC. It kind of counts. We're missing one. Santa Cruz,
yes.
Banana
Santa
Slugs
are blue?
Blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow, yeah.
I would have guessed they're green, but...
Nope, Banana Slugs are... It's a yellow slug with a blue background.
Wow. Incredible.
Yep. So there you go.
You learn something new every
you
day.
You really do. You really do.
That is nuts.
So at least Golden One has an excuse, but they should really
just make it white. UC.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's a good point.
So
I think they're
they're not a banana slug.
Now the question is, should they make a company wide change based off of this one sponsorship?
Yeah, I mean, you got You got the beam going.
Yeah,
but you. The golden one just looks like Warriors colors.
Especially because Anne Fong also is a Giants sponsor, and she changes it to orange and black for the Giants, but doesn't do it for the Kings.
Until Force.
She did. She did.
Yeah, it's now purple and I think it's purple and silver is now.
Wow. In the arena. My mind is blown with that whole UC thing.
Yeah.
Because I pride myself on knowing a lot about schools.
Do you know this is a little bit more of like a well-known pop culture, but or trivia, sports trivia. Do you know the sports city that shares the same colors?
Well, that's
all
Pittsburgh.
Their teams? Right.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one.
He's a Pennsylvania guy, Chris.
I'm a Pennsylvania guy.
I forgot.
By the way, while we are talking all things black and yellow, I actually made Kenyatta College, shout out Redwood City, called Green and Yellow, because those were our colleges. It's not on YouTube. You can't find it anywhere.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't post it.
I'm going to look for it.
And I said Green and Yellow, and it was about rounding bases and playing baseball.
Is this like the equivalent of like Steph Curry's I Love College video?
I would like to think there's no video. It's just
you
a song.
You keep saying that.
There's no video.
I feel like there's a video.
Not that I don't recall. There was no video that was made. It's just a song, right? But I kind of had bars. So the 916 chiming in, USC. USC is not a University of California school.
Yes.
That's a private school.
Yes, sir.
You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school.
Exactly.
Right? They call it University of Spoiled Children.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
USC, that would be the same as Stanford, also a private school.
State schools, not a part of it.
Stingers up, as Chris said, Stingers down because he does not like Sac State.
If they were in March Madness, he would not watch.
That's what he said, even if they were in the Final Four, he wouldn't watch. There's just a lot going on, right? As we get to a break, when we get back, we're talking all things NBA in-season tournament. Do you care? Or do you not? More of your calls, more of your texts on this Friday fun day. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.